Our work today is to perfect others to do the work themselves. We are not here to work in place of others. Paul produced Timothy as his disciple, and then Timothy committed the work to faithful ones, 2 Timothy 2:2. These faithful ones then went out and perfected others. This is the way of our work today. Witness Lee, The Collected Works of Witness Lee, 1932 through 1949, Volume 2, pages 406 through 407, Living Stream Ministry. This week, we conclude the series titled The Age of Intensification with speaking from Brother Andrew Yu on service. In his sharing, he emphasizes that the Lord's direction in our service today is that we perfect others to function rather than to replace them. This is part 2 of Message 4 from a conference hosted by the Church in New York City in November 2015. The original message was spoken with side-by-side English to Chinese translation, which was edited out for brevity, thereby affecting the cadence of the speaking. A link to the unedited version can be found in the episode notes.
Okay, next one. If we're not absolute, then after 20 or 30 years, God will raise up absolute ones.
Amen.
Whether he will get through in this generation depends on whether there will be absolute ones in this generation.
Amen.
Whether we can continue to be the believers of Acts chapter 2 in the next generation depends on how we behave in this generation.
Amen.
If we would not prostrate and fall before the Lord, it is possible that the recovery could pause among us.
Amen.
But there is also the possibility that it can break forth from among us.
Amen.
So our work today is to perfect others to do the work.
Amen.
We're not here to replace others to work. Paul was there to produce a Timothy to be his disciples, and Timothy commit the work to faithful ones.
Amen.
Then these faithful ones go out again to perfect more people.
Amen.
This is the direction of our work today.
Amen.
Today, if we continue to work in replacing others, this kind of replacement, in the end, we will have tuberculosis ourselves, and still it will not go have a way to go on. The way today is to teach the others to work.
Amen.
Only this way will be successful.
Amen.
For one man to monopolize the job is to tell every brother and sister not to do anything. This is the wrong way.
Amen.
The way of the co-workers is to lead others to work, to bring others, induce others to the work,
Amen.
Distribute the work to others so that everybody would work,
Amen.
Rise up to work. Okay, next one. I don't know if they're still. Okay, then it says, one day we will all pass away. That was Watchman Nee in 1950. The next generation will rise up and they will bring in the next generation. We cannot continue to have only 3 or 5 serving. Today is the time when the whole church needs to rise up.
Amen.
If one day the church rises up and in everything the church, the whole church, pick it up and do it themselves, the whole church preaching the gospel, the whole church perfecting the saints, that day the church would be doing a most novel thing on the earth today.
Amen.
Please believe in my word. In the near future, such a church will happen. By then, men will see Philadelphia, the real brotherly love. So the need today is not to replace is to produce those that can perfect others, is not to produce those that will replace others. Amen. So that's something that I quoted to show the sense of time and the sense of urgency in the brothers. Next one. So I'll just read some more. It says, the whole body should consider the gospel as the center and as the focus of their living. Today, the gospel is a profession. Everything else is alongside. We have to consider the gospel to be the center of our living. Our job, our profession, is just for us to have something to feed our mouth, to maintain our body so that it can live on. The purpose is for the gospel. We live on this earth for the gospel. The real gospel preaching is when the whole body preaches the gospel. The gospel preaching of 3 people, 5 people does not count. What we need today is the universal, ubiquitous, everyone preaching the gospel.
Amen.
When the brothers and sisters, they see that the church is a body, then they would no longer be independent. The most blessed thing, which is the most comfortable thing, is when we give up everything for the gospel. Only when our money is all with God will we be the happiest person.
Amen.
Many people, they have accumulated too much, so they cannot be happy.
Amen.
If they lose a little, then they will be happy a little bit more. This is a big thing.
Amen.
Whether you have a high profession, you have a low profession, that doesn't matter. The matter is what is our goal.
Amen.
Some, they go to work. Some, they take care of children at home. But everything must be for the gospel.
Amen.
Then Brother Nee said, I heard what Brother Witness Lee did in Chifu, and I heard what he did in Shanghai. All these are very right, but I would add one more. In consecration, it must be that everybody has a part in it.
Amen.
Everybody gave their all. If the brothers and sisters all give themselves, then we don't need to preach about this in the next generation anymore. By then, when a person gets saved, right away he gives everything to the Lord.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
Okay, this is a report that came out I think it was in 2013. And it was a forecast of the global trend till 2030. And it was circulated among all world leaders. It's called Alternative World, and it's a compilation of the National Intelligence Council. So I want to show you a few quotes from there. It says 4 megatrends. Number one, these 4 megatrends. That's the trend of the whole world. Number one, personal power will rise to an unprecedented height. That means personal wealth, personal freedom, everything personal. You know, and the middle class will expand, and the poverty will decrease, and the new way of communication, plus the power of individual, will highly be enhanced. That's the first megatrend. Then the second megatrend is there will be no more hegemony. That means one power control everything. The whole world will become G0, you know, not G4, G6, G20, G0. And it will become a multi-world, a coalition of the multi-world. Then number three, humankind will become older, more urbanized, and look at that last one, a huge migration tide will be in the next 30 years. It's almost like reading the newspaper, are you? Then number four, food, water, energy, all these things the need will greatly expand. That's the environment that they're talking about. These are the 4 megatrends, World Report. Now, if you look at that and you compare with today, and you open up the newspaper, what do you find? human migration, refugees. Okay, so now I'm going to tell you something that we probably will talk about next week in the conference. Beginning in the last elders training, we, the co-workers from the East and from the West, we have been noticing this migration of human, this Teutonic shift of human being. There, every day there's 10,000 people moving to Europe. For hundreds of years, nobody, we can't reach the Middle East. Now the Middle East is moving to Europe. And the newspaper says, it says this is not only unprecedented since the Second World War. This kind of human migration is unprecedented in human history. It never happened before. You know, in 1937, before the European war started, the Japanese invaded China. For the first time in Chinese history, there was a mass migration of people from along the coast to inland. China had never experienced anything like that. And people, they were lining up along the railway. And then in the railway station, the children were crying for their mother, and the mother were looking for their children. And there were posts everywhere. If anybody see, well, if you open up the newspaper today, you know what I read? I don't read Los Angeles Times. I read New York Times. And every day the New York Times, it has this human migration pictures. People walking through the railway and a long human line through the cornfield. That was exactly like it was in China. Benjamin went through that era. He knows that time. It was a very unstable time. And hotels would be 30 times more people than it normally can hold. It was at that time that Brother Nee decided to have the burden to start a newspaper. And he called the newspaper The Open Door. He said, this is time for The Open Door. And in the opening issue, he wrote an article called Footsteps at Perilous Times. And he said, this is not the time for us to be refugees, to run for migration. He said, this is a time for us to preach the gospel. You know, about 2 months ago, some brothers just suddenly woke up and realized that this is not a crisis. This is opportunity. Opportunity for the Lord to reach this group of people. And now I tell you, both the West and the East were mobilized. And we have mobilized to do 3 things. Number one, to pray. And we want all the saints in the Lord's recovery to pray about the Lord's move among this group of people. And then number two, to give. To give for the Lord's move here. You know, this mass movement of humanity, 10,000 people per day. So we divide up into 2 sections. One section is those that are in transit. And the brothers that are responsible for Rima, starting this week already, they will send teams and teams 2 weeks at a time to go to these places. And they will prepare some love packages, care packages. And the care packages will contain gospel tracts plus some small care items. And they said, we need to do it in China. So I said, okay, so I recommended them to the saints in China. So initially they want to do 10,000 pouches. And then eventually they want to increase that to 200,000. Each one of those pouch costs about $1. You know, when I called the brothers in China, they said, if this is the Lord's move, we want to participate in it. We can't go. So we underwrite all the costs. So we have a part in this move. So they pray and they give. Then number 3, some go. And some they go in 2 week shift just to pass out tracts. I tell you, my wife is here. She's a medical doctor. And among the doctors they're talking about, to go and shepherd these people, to render them care. And we have sent out a few scouting teams already. And their report is that these people need a lot of care. And there's an unprecedented openness for the gospel. You know, when they're in the Middle East, they're not bound by their religion only. They're bound by their culture. And they're bound by their background. Then the shake-up came. And when the shake-up came, their hearts became open. Let me tell you this. Throughout human history, the most open people are the shake-up people. You know, this country is made up of immigrants. So all the immigrants that first came, they're the most open people. After they become the second generation, the third generation, that they become settled and occupied. You know, when they first started this country with the 13 colonies, there was almost no Catholics. Well, when did the Catholic came? They came in with the immigrants, the Irish, the Italians, the Polish, and now the latest is the Mexican. They don't have to preach a gospel. They just go and take care of these immigrants. And all these came into the Catholic Church. Amen. So now the Catholic Church is almost as big as the Protestant Church. I'm not telling you something that you don't know, but I'm talking to you tonight from the boardroom of the Universal President. And what is this? This means that whenever there's war, whenever there's famine, whenever there's death, there's always the gospel. So some years ago, people say, oh, pray for the peace in the Middle East. I'm not sure they know what they're praying for. If there's peace in the Middle East, nobody would want to believe. You know, in the last 10 years, the unprecedented number of Chinese became believers. It never happened in Chinese history. Don't think that the Chinese are always open to the gospel. When Robert Morrison, he went to China to preach a gospel, and you're found preaching the gospel, you get your head chopped off. People think that the Middle East is hard, and that these people are brutal. You just go back to China 200 years ago. The gospel could not penetrate, like water could not penetrate through the wall. Well, who could imagine that it would be like this today? Wherever you walk, you see the Chinese. And it's not just in this country. It happens in Europe. It happens in Africa. It happens in Australia. This is unprecedented. And what caused that? You know, in Revelation, there are four horses. You have the red horse, the black horse, and the gray horse, and then the white horse. And the white horse always runs with those three horses. Whenever the world gets into turmoil, that's the golden opportunity for the gospel. So some of you young people, maybe some of you consider, how should I be part of this move? And maybe the Lord will get you participate in that. We're going to share more next week when we get together again in Jacksonville. But I want to apply it to another area. We talk about the Arabs in the Middle East. And I believe in the next 10 years, the Lord's recovery will break through into the Arabic language. You know, the Arabic language is the third spoken language in the whole world. Number one is Chinese. I'm talking about number of people speaking. Number two is English. Number three is Arabic. And historically, we have broken through, the Lord's recovery has broken through into every language, into Russian, into Spanish, but never into Arabic. Well, I believe in the next 10 years, the Lord's recovery will go into the Arabic language. And for you young people, you will see it. You should go back tonight and say, Lord, here I am, use me. Well, I use another application. And that is, I apply to all immigrants, not just the Arabic immigrants. All immigrants are open. And I mentioned a little bit already in the 200 years of American history. You know, the coming election, immigration is going to be a big issue. Those politicians in Washington, they don't know what they're talking about. The Lord controls the human population. I don't care if they want to build a wall, if they want to do anything, it's not going to stop migration into this country. And I want you to consider this matter not as a minus, but as a plus. This is not a negative fact. This is a positive fact. You know, a few years back, and we say, well, we exhort the Chinese students. You should preach the gospel not only to the Chinese. You should preach the gospel to all the nations. You know, in the New Testament, the word Gentile is the same as all nations. In other words, the apostle to the Gentiles is apostle to the nations. But the blessing would come upon the Gentiles means the blessing would come upon the nations. So today we have to preach the gospel of all nations. We should never consider this as a negative factor. This is a positive factor. And now I come to New York. I land at JFK. I said, I've never seen a place that cosmopolitan. Women in burqa, men in Jewish hats. You don't have a place that has as many patches of humanity as it is here. You know what this place is ideal for? The practice of the God-ordained way. I look forward to the day in the city of New York there would be at least 10 languages. One group raising up there, one group raising up there, one group raising up there. You know, just in the church in Anaheim, we have a Vietnamese home meeting, Korean home meeting, Chinese home meeting, I believe Japanese home meeting. And now we're beginning to have Arabic home meeting. You know what is the biggest concentration of Arabic population in America? Detroit and Anaheim, California. Half a mile from the old meeting hall on Ball Road is what is called Little Arabia. The Palestinians, the Jordanians, the Syrians, they're all there. But brothers and sisters, what is New York? New York is Little Arabia, Little Vietnam, Little China, Little everything. Wouldn't you agree? So what is that? That's opportunity. That is not a minus, that is a plus. But today is not the day of the mega church to get people to drive 2 hours to come to your mega church to hear you perform. I heard that there are 600 substations. We should have home meetings and district meetings in every one of those stations. That's what the brothers in Shanghai, they pray about. You know, in the early 90s, do you know how many saints were there in the church in Shanghai? Less than 50. Do you know how many are there today? They printed 6,000 copies of Holy Word for Morning Revival. That's not the number of saints that come to the Lord's table. That's the number of saints that read the Holy Word for Morning Revival. 6,000. You tell me how many saints there need to be in the church in New York. You tell me.
You 告诉我.
Let's wake up. Amen. Young generation, let's wake up. He said he doesn't like New York City. I wish I could be here in New York City. In 5 or 10 years' time, if you brothers would be faithful, New York can turn out to be the strongest church in the whole United States. Amen. It has the factors. It's right here. It depends on you. It depends on this generation, if this generation would rise up or not. I tell you, something is burning in me. But I can't do much. I die almost 3 times already. I told you already. But I can pray for you. And I hope you will move with the Holy Spirit. And if you become the stepping stone of the Holy Spirit, and in your lifetime, the Holy Spirit will step on you once, your life is worth all the while. I know what I'm talking about. When I got married in 1979, I just gave myself, and then I got involved with the greatest move there was. I was very happy. I know that the Lord stepped on me just once, at least. And I remember at that time I was sitting on an airplane. And I said, if the airplane now falls down and drown in the sea, I have no more regret because I've earned enough. And I'm happy. Well, the plane didn't drown in the sea, and I still live until today. But I want to say this to the younger generation. Have the Lord's aspiration to step on you at least once, maybe more. Then your life would be worth the while, and you will have no regret. You know what is the biggest torment in hell? It's not the sulfur. It's not the fire. It's regret. I wish that when I was on the earth, I would give myself to the Lord on time. I almost got in. The balloon was right there, and I could have seized that. But I didn't seize it, and I'm here. That torment is greater than the torment of the fire. When you have a classmate, and he made it to be successful, and you said, I could have done the same. Why didn't I do that? Even when the stock goes up, and everybody else make money, and you didn't, and you regret. That regret is really painful. Don't get yourself into any regret. No regret.
Amen.
Nicodemus, after the Lord died, he got 100 pounds of ointment to anoint the Lord. But he missed the opportunity. The balloon was gone. And whatever that Mary did, she seized the opportunity.
Amen.
So tonight I'm going to challenge you. Give yourself to the Lord for the next 30 years. Give yourself to the Lord. Oh, I hope the Lord spoke through me tonight. I don't know what my action point is, but this is intensification. You don't need to improve anything. You don't need to invent anything. What you have, hold fast.
Amen.
And then you will get the crown of life. The Word of God is the Word of God. It never changes. I'm not talking about my Word. In the age of intensification, what the Lord wants is overcomers. The overcomers will produce the pride. and the bride will bring in the New Jerusalem. That's what the Lord is doing today. I hope the Lord will bless you. I think my energy is running out, but my spirit is still burning. I hope you will continue. I'll stop here.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear the complete recording and other messages, please visit livingtohim.com. If you would like to receive regular updates from us, please subscribe to this podcast and join our mailing list on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where our handle is @livingtohim.